Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports, brought to you by KillCliffCBD.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Go to DrinkingBrosTickets.com for all your ticketing needs. Want to sit with Dan and I at your favorite event? Go to DrinkingBrosTickets.com today.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show, kids.
Your fucking mom is live.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is. I like how you just got that video demonetized in 2 seconds.
Oof.
That's what we do here, brother. Here's the thing, kids. If you follow along the show and you follow Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook, it is a private group, but you get to see all of our bets. And every week we bet on all of the games. You come at the king, you best not miss. We had a young man by the name of Josh Harris who is going to be joining us here. Well, he missed. He came at the king and he missed, and it was for a big boy number. It was for a huge number. It was for an Ariana Grande. My lock of the week was Auburn.
Bigly.
Over Kentucky, correct. Bigly. Bigly. It was a Bigly bet. I put $1,000 on it, and Josh Harris decided to put $1,000 on Kentucky. We welcome Josh to the show. Punch him on in there, Giorgio. There he goes. Look, it looks like he's in his car, D'Anthony.
Yeah. I'm in the old Dodge.
You're in the old Dodge.
Joe Dirt style.
Welcome to the show, Josh. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm all right. That $1,000, you said it's big money, man. I've dropped $1,000 on the sidewalk that day and kept going. That's not shit. I'm going to get you back. It's not shit, man. I'll be back next weekend.
That's the good attitude to have. By the way, folks out there, don't put money into the account that you can't afford to lose.
Yes. We had some people on last week who were like, hey, man, I need Ross to put up his picks so I can get out of debt. That is not the correct way to gamble. The correct way to gamble is like Josh Harris said. If you have money to lose and it doesn't really matter and you're just doing it to have fun, that's the correct way to bet. I cannot keep picking teasers week after week. Last week, I picked an 8-game teaser and won. A bunch of people in Drinking Bros won. Everybody asked me to post another teaser this week. It was a 6-game teaser.
Yeah.
And we all won again.
Which, by the way, those odds are 180 to 1 and then 150 to 1. And if you multiply those, I don't know if you know what exponential mathematics are, but the fact that you won both of them is it's an astronomical chance that that would have happened. Right.
I couldn't believe it. I'm watching the games the same as everyone else. Josh, how did you end up for the rest of the weekend?
I did pretty good. Like I was telling you before the show, that kicker really fucked me on the Chiefs game. I know you didn't take the over.
I did not.
But I figured
I would.
A
lot of people, yeah, a lot of people did. I know Dan did as well.
Yeah, but I bought some on that one, so I won it. I got it at, I think I when I bought it, it was 54, and I took it down to 53 for 53 and a half.
Okay. What was the fun? What was
it? It was 54.
It was 54.
Yeah, that was that's what it closed at, and that's what the game score was. 54. Yeah, he got it.
You got it 55.
Early in the week, it was 55. For some reason, it came down to 53 or 54, and I took it down one more point because I thought it was going to be what do you call it? Like a 27, 26 game thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought it was going to be. I'm like, well, like if you think you have one of the team's scoring habits figured out. That's a good way to be able to gauge whether or not your over under bet is going to be good. Like, I think if you look at, like, for the Green Bay Packers, for example, against relatively good defenses, Seahawks and the Bears, mm-hmm. and even the Cowboys, who, although they've had struggles, they're not a terrible defensive team. He's averaging 39.5 points a game. For me, with Aaron Rodgers on the streak he's on right now, with all of his players healthy for the most part, except for, you know, Devontae Adams is out, but like his, with most of the offense that started the year with him is still there. That is a safe bet to me to say he's probably going to put up 38 to 40 points.
Okay.
Right. Somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
So if you look at the other side, how many points have they been giving up? And Atlanta, the fact that they're going to have to score because they're going to be behind the whole game and all this stuff, that over has really attracted me this week, even though it's 58, which means you're going to get good odds on it because it's a high number, but the data backs up making that bet.
Gotcha. You know what I mean? So is that going to be your lock of the week?
Yeah, that over is, yeah.
Okay, so Dan's lock of the week is going to be the over in the Green Bay-Atlanta game. Josh, we wanted to have you on the show since you were talking shit and Drinking Bros Sports to me about me not being the best, which clearly I am after this weekend, obviously. I thought I would have you on and have you pick your lock of the week. That way, we can find out who truly is the best. What do you got as your lock of the week this week, Josh?
Before I give you this gold, I've lost so much money with that conservative bullshit at the end of the game. Kansas City should have kicked the fucking field goal with I don't know how many seconds were left. They should have kicked that shit.
Yeah.
They knew I had money on it. Yeah. Anyways,
yeah, that was a real.
If I'm gonna pick
move.
Anything. I'm going to have to go with the Hawks, man.
Seahawks.
I know you guys love Russell Wilson. That sexy bastard. So I got to go with the Hawks. Okay. What do you say, 6.5?
Yes. Yeah, so
get it before it's 7.
Yeah, 6.5. Seattle is playing at Miami. And that spread is going to be minus 6.5 for the Seahawks. It's not a bad bet. Look, to me, Russell Wilson is the MVP of the league so far. I know we're only headed into week 4. But there isn't a guy playing better football, including Pat Mahomes. Look, Russell Wilson just set the record for most touchdowns in a 3-game span.
Yep.
To start the season. He looks amazing. The Seahawks look amazing. Chris Carson, though, might be out running back-wise. And me personally, there is something about playing in Miami for these teams where they just kind of let up for the week. They don't
cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. And Dan has talked about that many times on the show. When you go to Miami, you're doing cocaine. You're having a good time. People don't take the Dolphins as seriously, and some of these games end up being more challenging than they really are.
Hey, my mic was off for a second.
Yeah.
How many times have the Patriots gone to Miami and lost when they had their great teams?
Correct.
Like, frequently, that was one of their two losses in a year.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole crew. Yeah. Like, when they were still, like, Tom Brady's Patriots. Frequently, they would go down to Miami once every other year, and I think they lost two game or 3 out of 4 games over the course of 6 years or some shit like that. That's not okay. But it does happen. So, I mean, that's a good tip to keep in mind if you're going to bet on a team like that.
It is. And by the way, there is a listener, Troy Rudd, just sent us $100 live on YouTube and said, "Well, both of my teams aren't doing great." Troy, neither is mine. The Atlanta Falcons will always be the Atlanta Falcons, which we will get to later.
Wait, who's your team, Troy? Just answer in the comments down there.
Yeah. Tell us who your team is, Troy. And tell us who your team is, Josh, in real life.
Oh, man. Hey, Tighten up, baby. Hey, and you guys.
Yeah.
I was listening to y'all last week. You need to put some respect on the Titans. I heard y'all say that we're not exciting to watch. And no, that may be true. But damn it, man. I listen every week. I just want to hear you mention them.
Well, Derek. Derrick Henry is the second most individually dominant player in all of football next to Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah, and Russell Wilson, yes. Yeah, I put him in top five for sure.
I would say individually dominant. Yeah. Russell Wilson is a great quarterback. There's no question about that. He's he's probably the second best quarterback in the league right now.
Correct.
I just think that Mahomes is off in his own world there. But Derrick Henry, as far as being dominant, he is a giant human being.
Yes.
And he's like the LeBron James of football. Mm-hmm. There's no way a guy that size should be able to do those things. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And if he was on a good team, no offense, but they're not a good team.
Yeah.
If he was on a good team with a good quarterback and at least one like deep wideout threat, mm-hmm. holy shit. If that guy would be rushing Falcons, for 130 to 150 yards every single game. You wouldn't be able to stop him.
Correct. And with the Titans, I can't, and this is no offense to you, and I'm being completely dead serious when I say this. Usually I'm not genuine, but I am now. I don't know any of your receivers. Like, I know Corey Davis, but who else is there that you guys have receiver-wise? I remember Delanie Walker used to be your tight end, but he's not there. Who are the superstars of the Titans, though, that people are watching? Because Ryan Tannehill isn't one of them. No one is tuning in to watch Ryan Tannehill.
Tanny's the fucking Manny, you know what I'm saying? But listen, Jonnu Smith, number 81. As soon as that ball hits his hands, it doesn't go nowhere. You hit him as hard as you want to. He's hanging on to that shit. Yeah. Watch the Ravens game last year, the one cheek rule. He fucking caught a touchdown in the end zone, you wouldn't believe. And then A.J. Brown
from
Mississippi.
Good.
Is Ole Miss or Mississippi State? I can't remember. Who gives a shit? He's the fucking man. He's hurt right now, but he's the shit.
Yeah, he's Ole Miss. He caught 1,000 yards last year.
Did he really?
Yeah.
And only like 57 receptions and 1,000 yards. I mean, he's a deep threat for sure. But
57 receptions is not exciting. There's a lot of people caught COVID, and I don't know their names either. So it's one of those teams where I say this every year about the Titans when we do the preseason show. I say it is a 9-7 team. They will go into the playoffs. They always win one playoff game, but it is not a Super Bowl championship team, in my opinion. And they're definitely not exciting to watch, and I can't figure out why. Nashville is a great town. I've been to that stadium. That stadium is fucking awesome. Your season tickets, you were talking to me about it before the game. I know exactly where those seats are. Those are the best you can possibly get in the stadium. It would be great for the city of Nashville to have a team that was exciting and amazing, but when you're running the ball 52 times a game, and then you have Ryan Tannehill throwing 15-yard outs, it's just not that exciting to watch, you know. And every game seems to come down to a field goal. When I look at all their spreads week after week, it is always 3 points, including this game.
No.
And I know that, you know, this game got postponed and it might be Tuesday, which, by the way, I hope it's Tuesday. Mm. It would give all of us junkies one more NFL game to bet on, and it would be fantastic because it's a great game. It's Tennessee versus the Steelers. I believe it is in Nashville, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The spread before it got canceled was 2.5. Every game is 3. Like the spread last weekend against the Vikings was 3.5.
Well, I mean, look, their games so far, they've won by 2, 3, and 1 respectively.
Yeah.
And you can look at a team and say, oh, they're 3-0. Good start to the year. And it is, right? Those early wins are important because if you have trouble later on or injuries or whatever, you can kind of stumble through it and continue to be successful later on in the year. But don't get too hopeful about a team that's winning. Like in baseball, it's important that you win one-run games. That's a good that is a good indicator of how good your team is because the bullpen plays a function later in the game to sustain that one-run lead. You know what I mean? But when you're a football team and all your games are that close, that is very problematic.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's
– you're going to lose eventually.
Eventually, you're going to have a streak of losses in those games if you don't learn how to – like it's a problem for good but not great NBA teams as well. Like they play three really good quarters and mm-hmm. take off the fourth. Or they play two good quarters and then the third sucks and then the fourth is good, but they're trying to dig themselves out and they're always in these close games and you're going to lose 50% of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, eventually it's going to catch up to them, but – frankly, I don't know when. I mean, we'll see when this Pittsburgh game happens, but they play the Bills and then the fucking Texans after that. Honestly,
they might lose the next three, to be honest with you.
But the Titans could also win those games.
I know.
You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. Look, that's the positive thing I'll say about the Titans. They always give themselves a chance. When you have Derrick Henry, you always have a chance in all these games and a decent defense. You know, and I don't think your team had a chance, or, I mean, had a choice, but to back up the truck and pay Tannehill. As we've seen around the NFL, it is really hard to find a good, consistent quarterback. Will they be great and win a Super Bowl? You never know. But if you want to win games, you have to have a great, consistent quarterback like Matt Ryan. I don't know if that motherfucker will ever win a Super Bowl. I doubt it, to be honest with you.
No.
But that is the best that they could possibly get. Therefore, unless you get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields next year, if you're the Falcons, I don't know that it's worth it. Same with the Titans.
Yeah, we'll see.
You've got to keep Tannehill because look at all the other options. Everybody said Danny Dimes was going to be the guy in New York. He's shit. Garoppolo, he's shit.
Well, I mean, look, all these there's always a sophomore slump. When there's not, in the case of Mahomes, it was a big deal that he didn't have a sophomore slump.
Right.
Baker Mayfield had one.
Yep.
Fucking even I think Peyton Manning's one of the only other guys that never had one.
Right.
It's him and Mahomes recently, but typically speaking, I mean, Danny Dimes is going through a sophomore year now. They got tape on him, and his team is struggling without their number one offensive weapon now. So it's like, you know, I get it, and it's how you bounce back in the second half of the season. We'll see on Danny Dimes. If he starts to produce again later on in the season, maybe he's got some legs over there, but I don't know. I mean, without Saquon, shit, man.
Yeah.
The fuck are you going to do up there?
Look, the Giants are done. There's a reason why that spread is 12. We'll get to that in a second. But Josh Harris, before we jump off with you here, I just want to say thanks for being a good sport this weekend. We're grateful that you listened to the show. And anybody who was talking shit inside Drinking Bros Sports, look, man, put your money where your mouth is and come after the champ, and we'll have you on the show. Like, we enjoy all of it. We enjoy all of the shit talking. That's who the Drinking Bros are. So I appreciate it, and know that I found it hilarious this week, and I actually had an enjoyable time, and I'm glad to hear that the money you lost didn't really affect you that much.
Yeah, it's all good, man. That shit grows on trees. Dan, I couldn't hear shit you were saying, but I know you were talking good about my boys, and I fucking appreciate it, dude. I really appreciate it. Hey, the Titans are coming. They're fucking coming up. Vrabel will fuck up any other coach in the NFL. That's all you need to know. If it come down to that,
in a fist fight, yeah, he would win in a fist fight pretty much. I can't think of a coach. I mean, it's certainly not Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Unless it was like a fucking looking like a walrus contest, because he looks like a fucking walrus with a Waffle House menu in his hands all the time.
Yeah.
Now he's wearing that face shield. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, you just gave up, didn't you?
I got it. Since you're here and on the phone, you just said that about Vrabel. Can you hear me still?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I have a Mike Vrabel story that no one knows.
All right.
So we were in college at the same time together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, at Ohio State. So he's an Ohio State guy. So we were in school at the same time, and like, dude, Vrabel in college was just as animalistic as he is now. Like, nothing has changed about that fucking guy. So I'm at a fraternity party, and somebody started getting mouthy to him, and I saw him kick the shit out of four dudes. And there was my girlfriend and then a group of girls with me, and they were like, aren't you going to do anything to stop that? And I go, against that guy? Not one fucking prayer on this earth. I'm going to sit back and watch the show. I saw him personally light up four fucking people. Vrabel is exactly that guy in real life. So if you think that maybe he's gotten soft after leaving the NFL, or maybe you shouldn't take a shot at the champ here, not one fucking prayer on this earth, dude. I watched him work over four steroid big-sized dudes in under fucking 2 minutes, and it was impressive. Mike Vrabel is that guy, and if he was my coach of the Falcons, I'd be fucking amped about it. So that one I will give to you in a second. Mike Vrabel's rad.
He's 6'4", 260, and he's a professional athlete. Like, probably don't fight him, I guess.
Yeah. And a football guy at heart. Yeah. Dumb as shit, but a football guy knows everything about football. That's exactly who you want.
I can definitely see him grabbing a dude by the chin strap and headbutting his helmet.
You know where he grabbed a dude, which I hadn't seen this technique ever? He grabbed a guy right by their love handle and squeezed so fucking hard that this guy started crying. Physically dropped to his knees and cried in the front yard. When you make a grown man cry in a front yard of a fraternity party, you can never come back from that. I'll never forget who that kid was because of what Mike Vrabel did to him.
What about when doves cry?
When doves cry, all I think about is Prince, dude, RIP.
Yeah. He might be out there somewhere.
If you'd have jumped in, you'd have been the fifth guy.
Yeah.
And then they get fucked up, and you never would be able to win. And you really wouldn't like the Titans, and that'd be a fucking problem. but guys, I'm gonna get off here. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You guys do. Before I leave,
yes,
a buddy of mine works on a fucking tugboat. And you know those fuckers do more tugging than boating, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep. Goddamn right.
And he turned me on to your show. His name's Ryan Bean from the Tullahoma. He's a fucking man. You guys have a good one. Keep keeping it real, and I'm coming for that fucking ass.
I hear you, dude. Hey, I tell you what. So it's early in the show, but we'll make him Drinking Bro of the Week. So let's make Ryan Bean Drinking Bro of the Week. How about that?
Fuck yeah. Come on, Ryan. I probably ain't going to see this.
He'll hear it. The audio show will be out tonight, and the video is always on YouTube. Josh, thanks for being on the show. Have fun at work today, and we appreciate you listening and having a good time with us on the message boards and Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook.
All right, man. See y'all later.
See you, buddy.
Tighten up.
Tighten up. Tighten up. He's fun, man. We enjoy shit like that. I know some people jump in on the message boards and like, hey, man, so-and-so was talking shit or whatever. Right. It's like, no, dude, that's why we do the show. That's what sports is. Last year, even, with LSU in particular, the LSU fans. Jesus Christ.
Well, there was the one.
Well, Sarah. She's the...
Sarah Williams or right some there. Shit? What's her
Sarah
name?
Sarah Williams is the... That's what we made the trophy out of, right?
Yeah, Sarah Williams, yeah.
But the rest of the LSU fans, Ryan Rhodes is one of them. I like Ryan Rhodes. I had to block him, though, for the rest of the year. And well, here's the thing. If I block you and you're a good dude, I unblock you once the new season starts. But I can't hear about LSU and every single thing, right? What I said about LSU was completely and 100% correct. Now, I did not see them beating the – I bet them the entire year, those motherfuckers. I bet them the entire year except for the Oklahoma game. The only reason I bet them on the Oklahoma game is I thought the spread was too high. It was 14.5. And I was at that game in real life, that playoff game. Oklahoma is every bit as bad as they were last week, which we'll get to. And then in the national championship, I thought Clemson was going to win because they had a great defense. And it was just LSU's year, and that was the greatest team in college football history. They deserve it. And they can live without the rest of their life. But if you go back and listen to the episode, the day after they won the national championship, you and I did the episode, I said, LSU fans, enjoy the moment. Enjoy this year. You are losing everyone across the board. You will be rebuilding, and your team will not be good again for another 7 or 8 years. Because that's kind of the MO for LSU. Not because they're not a good team. Not because it's not a great university. I love going there to games. I love the tailgating there. You don't have that type of coach. You don't have the Nick Saban or the Dabo Sweeney or the fucking Ryan Day. Like, you don't have that type of coach who's going to pull in the people year after year.
Yeah.
And I said, enjoy it, because not only did you lose, your offensive guy who was calling all the plays, you lost your defensive coordinator. The coach lost his wife to a divorce. But also, with the returning starters, I believe it was three, and then Stingley got hurt the night before the game or whatever weird illness he had and had to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
They're the first defending national champions since 1998 to lose their season opener. And it was to Mississippi State, who got a new coach about an hour ago. We said it on the show last week with Mike Leach. I said, hey man, I'm not betting this game. It was 17.5. Mm-hmm. LSU was favored by 17.5. They got worked by 10.
Yeah.
I said, do not bet this game. Mm-hmm. I don't know what an air raid system is going to look like in the SEC. I don't know what it's going to look like when you have a coach that goes for it on every fourth down and doesn't punt. We found out what happened, and the quarterback for Mississippi State broke the all-time SEC record for passing yards in a game with 623 yards passing. That seems impossible to say.
That's a lot of fucking yards, man.
That's
a lot of total yards for an entire team.
That would be, for my high school quarterback for senior year, that would have been his entire stats sheet for the year. My white high school football team in Georgia, Chattahoochee. Chattahoochee Cougars, go Cougs. What happened in that game, I think, is going to be indicative of what their season's going to look like. It's probably a 3 or 4 loss season, I said at the beginning of the year. I don't know if Coach O is that guy to give you a national championship contender every year. So far, for the last, 10, 15 years, it's been just three schools.
Yeah.
It's either been Alabama, Clemson, or Ohio State. Those guys are always in the playoffs in Oklahoma, I guess.
Every now and again, one of the other Big 12 teams will jump in, or an SEC team, maybe. But that's it. It's either Big 12 or ACC. The other Big 10 teams haven't really been that competitive.
No.
Pac-12, of course, has not been competitive since the early 2000s, really. I mean, I can't think of the last time somebody other than Clemson from the ACC, somebody other than Ohio State from the Big 10 has really made a dent on the national level. Now, you see Texas and Oklahoma jump in from time to time. Mm-hmm. You'll see, I mean, Alabama's always there. You'll see LSU jump in from time to time as well. Maybe Florida, somebody like that. But typically, it is just those three teams for the last fucking decade. I mean, shit.
Yeah, and Coach O, let's face it, is not the guy that is going to, like, recruits. He's not going to show up at a recruit's house and they're going to be impressed. You're going to have to ask for a translator for him. LSU, go Tigers. Go Tigers. So, look, I think your team will be great in another 4 or 5 years, just not now. My biggest concern, though, with the SEC in general and college football this year, and I know I talked about this on the show last week, but the interesting part was I'm a huge Scott Van Pelt fan. I watched his show on ESPN late at night because I'm always up late, and he'd said the exact same thing as I did pretty much the night after our show aired, where it's just like, college football is about the pageantry.
Yeah.
The home fans, the bands, everything that comes with college football. My biggest fear about this year is these spreads in college football, man. You and I sat in an empty stadium at Texas, right? Or what felt like an empty stadium. It was 20% capacity. It's not enough to affect it. I feel like I was at my brother's JV game, and I had to drive him home after practice. You know?
Yeah, that's why I think all those middle road games that are tough outs traditionally for particularly for the Big 10 or I'm sorry, the Big 12 schools, and some of the SEC schools, I don't think those away games are going to be problems for the top teams anymore. I really don't. Like Baylor,
right?
Texas Tech, sometimes all those teams, in Texas and Oklahoma area for shit, they're most of them, to be honest. Every now and again, one of the Mississippi teams will be tough. One of the Florida or Georgia teams will be a tough out, but I don't think this year it's going to be like that, because unless the fans come back and start getting rowdy.
They're not.
Like, I mean, like maybe in the Big Ten. Maybe in Florida, but even then it's going to be 25 at most 50% capacity, right?
Correct. And in the Big Ten, they're not allowing any fans all season long. So, like, spreads might be strange unless you're the best teams. Like, Clemson is still beating the spread. Alabama did not cover the spread, though, this weekend.
No.
I think Ohio State will cover these spreads. I'm really curious to see what they're going to be. But if you look at this last weekend as a whole, and I only, again, if you follow on Drinking Bro Sports on Facebook, private group, sign up, you can see my actual betting slips. That's why all these people are winning all this fucking money, is I post them every Saturday and Sunday morning right before the games. This Saturday, when I looked at it, I said, man, I am only betting on one game. And I did it Friday night because I think we were getting house on Saturday. But I was like, look, I'm only betting one game in college because I'm not – these spreads seem so fucking big. And it was Auburn at 6.5 over Kentucky. I put 1,000 on it, but I didn't bet any other college games that day.
I bet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I was 5-2.
Okay.
I won K-State OKC over. I won Auburn, won OK State to win. I won – Virginia Tech and BYU, and I lost the Ole Miss game because it was plus 14 and they got routed. And then the Alabama thing, I really thought they were going to fucking show up and do something. I feel like I feel like Alabama right now on the national stage has something to prove.
I do too.
They got roughed up in the playoffs last year.
I think they might be in trouble. Like, you know, looking at this, the SEC is the most interesting conference to me this year, because looking at the landscapes, and we talked about it in our pregame show, you have Lane Kiffin, who's coaching at Ole Miss, right?
He shakes it up.
It's bombs away. Florida was my sleeper team. I'd pick them to win the fucking West in the SEC this year.
Yeah.
They're my sleeper team, and they ended up winning, and it was like 58-38. But the fact that Lane Kiffin came in with none of his recruits, chucked the ball every fucking play, and put up 38 points against Florida, who traditionally has a pretty good defense.
Yeah, they produce really good secondaries, especially in Florida.
Yeah.
Like some of the better, just the state of Florida at large has produced, like Deion Sanders, for example, some of the best goddamn secondary or defensive backs of all time in NFL history, right?
Right.
They churn them out like fucking, like Iowa churns out tight ends.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you expect Florida to have a pretty good pass defense.
Yes. Deion Sanders went to Florida State.
Florida State, yeah. I'm just saying Florida schools in general. Yes, Miami's produced a bunch. Florida State's produced a bunch. And Florida's produced a lot. I mean, like a lot of fucking defensive backs. It's weird to see. I mean, it's Lane Kiffin. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe it's a fluke. We'll see the rest of Florida games and the rest of Mississippi's games as well. But it's weird to see Florida with a team that's kind of in a chaotic mode right now, that's still learning their own system, come in and drop 40 on them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Particularly when it's a lot of it through the air. You don't see that much.
No. And, you know, if I'm looking at all the games as a whole, so you have that Ole Miss game with Lane Kiffin, and then you have, look, you have the Mississippi State game, obviously, against LSU. I mean, look, LSU is they call it DBU, although, look, every corner out of Ohio State, every starting corner since 2013 has been drafted in the NFL, whatever. I'll look past that. They call it DBU. To allow 623 yards through the air is pure fucking insanity at home. It's hard to wrap my mind around, but here's the biggest takeaway for me personally, Dan. The SEC is not used to something like that. What happens against an Alabama? What happens against a Georgia, a Florida? When you have a school with an air raid system, they've never had the air raid in the SEC before. Do they upset more teams? How do you defend that? How do you defend a team that goes for it on fourth down and doesn't punt the ball? Like, I'm really curious to see how the SEC reacts to that, because in the Big 12, there is no defenses.
Yeah,
they don't even go out and recruit defense. It seems, in the Big 12. Therefore, you see a game like Saturday with Texas. Texas versus Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. It goes into overtime. What was it? 60 fucking 4 to 58 or something? I mean, it was stupid.
Unbelievable.
It was like 120 points put on the board. Yeah. Something fucking crazy like that. But it's expected because it's the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the Big 12 has a shitty defense, including Oklahoma, who got torched again. The first game of the year, my last team into the college football playoffs, Oklahoma. I don't know why I bother with them year after year. They will never do it. They will never fucking be back. Spencer Rattler looked like Pat Mahomes' like shitty little stunt brother, like stunt double brother, who just couldn't put it together. And I don't. Oklahoma's in trouble. But the Big 12 as a whole, I don't even know if they get a team in after last weekend.
I don't know, man. Texas looked like shit. Yeah, Texas didn't look great. I mean, I thought before the season started that they would be in contention maybe for the college football playoff. After, I mean, you never, one week is 1 week, but in college, 1 week means more than 1 week in the NFL, obviously.
Especially with limited games.
Yeah.
Because you're only playing a 9-10 game schedule, and after looking at the entire landscape last weekend, I think the SEC might get two teams in, and not any Big 12 teams, because there is no defense there.
I mean, look, Texas did score a gajillion points. They have in both games this season. They've scored, I think, over 60 in both games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 59, I think, with the game we were at. You and
it's 59. That's right, yeah. So, I mean, they're putting up points against these shitty teams, but that big test is going to be that Oklahoma game on the 10th of October.
Yes.
We'll see how that goes. I don't, frankly, right now, Texas is still ranked 9th as of today. They would be in the top 15 for me, but they wouldn't be in the top 10 right now.
No, and I'd bet the over, even if it's 70 on that Texas-Oklahoma game.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. I don't give a fuck what the goddamn over is. Yeah. Look, that over, which is the over that I bet? K-State and Oklahoma City, it was like 78 or some shit like that. And
Kansas State versus Oklahoma.
They ended up
Oklahoma.
Scoring like 105 total points or something. That should have been my lock of the week, because I actually bet a lot of my money on this game.
Yes.
I was like completely sure that was going to happen.
Yeah. And that's exactly what did happen. But looking at that conference now.
Well, there's going to be some this week, too.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. And we'll get to those in a second. But looking at that conference, I don't know if they get any teams in out of the Big 12. I think it might be two SEC teams. I think Clemson is still a lock. Clemson still looks like Clemson.
Yeah, I mean,
the rest of the ACC is dog shit.
Clemson's only real test is Notre Dame, who is also right now a top five team. But
maybe Miami.
We all know that Notre Dame is not a real top five team.
No, they're not a real team.
Miami could sneak in. I mean, they're 3-0 right now. They've looked pretty good, but they haven't looked that crisp. You know what I mean? But it's also like everybody was on a truncated timeline. They're still, you know, they've got different players from last year and shit like that. So we'll see. I mean, I think by week 4 or 5, we'll know what the rest of the year is going to look like.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to reiterate what I said last week. Whoever wins the national championship in college football this year, it will truly be the best team, because home field does not matter anymore. It is whoever's going to show up and play that day and play the fucking hardest, and you're going to get the goddamn best national champion you possibly could get this year, because there isn't any other bullshit as far as home field advantage go or whiteout games or all that other stuff, including the NHL. Stanley Cup last night. Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup.
Amazingly. This is like the Braves 1995 World Series win.
Correct.
Because nobody, I mean, a lot of people actually in the media were on that train.
Us included. Well, we said Tampa Bay would be out in the first two rounds.
A lot of people in the mainstream media started to come around after a couple of series. I still didn't believe it because
I didn't either.
They're like the Seahawks. They never cover the spread. Mm-hmm. Like the Seahawks don't, and Tampa Bay just can't win in the playoffs. Well, good for them. They did it this year, and I know our buddy Steve Duffy is happy.
Steve Duffy's happy, and then also Zach Hurd, who bet them on the NHL hockey show. So if you,
but he's a Kings fan, but yeah, he bet that game pretty heavy.
He bet that game, and yeah. He won a bunch of money.
And I'm sure Steve did too. Steve's a gambler. He's a gambling man.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he fucking made some money. He's a Tampa native.
Ah,
Tampa trash.
Yeah, Tampa
water. He's water trash down there. Of course he is.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I love that dude.
So do I. He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But with that, I watched the presser last night with the coach. And afterwards, you could physically see how mentally exhausted he was. Cooper is his name. And
hey, he did what none of those other coaches in their history could have done. Like
no.
When Barry Melrose went down there with maybe the most talent on any hockey squad since the late 80s with the Oilers, with fucking Messier and Gretzky on the mm-hmm. same team and shit like that. He may have had the best team on the ice at once since then. But, you know, it's not always about the total amount of talent you have.
Right.
Chemistry, especially in hockey, plays a big role. And coaching does as well.
Yeah.
Frankly, you can, other than college football, I think the coaches in hockey are more important than any other sport.
Yeah.
So any professional sport, I think the coaches in hockey are more important.
Yeah.
Because of the way you organize a team, who you put together on the ice, and all this other stuff. The shifts that you run, the strategies that you run, whether it's dump and chase, or if you're trying to fucking do possession and keep the puck up at the point.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of different things and game planning against different teams and their fucking level of defense. It's all, like, it's very complicated. It's not like being a baseball manager, where like, well, I've got the best nine people on the field. And every now and again, you're like, well, this guy hits really good against lefties.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's so much more complicated. And in the NFL, not that the NHL doesn't have assistant coaches and shit, but the NFL, you've got an executive level guy that's dedicated completely to the offense and completely to the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking 5 to 8 coaches under him for the specific positions. You know what I mean? The NHL coaches do have those assistants, but they're not built out that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're truly managing that team. And it's very impressive.
Yeah. And
so it's like he should win coach of the year. I know they give those awards out for the regular season, but man, taking what Tampa Bay has been over the last 10 years
mm-hmm.
and actually winning a championship for that city, I feel like he should be coach of the year, frankly.
Yeah. And, you know, just hearing his exhaustion last night. And
I can't imagine.
But what it was like in the bubble.
In the
his
bubble,
exhaustion
then.
Wasn't over winning the championship or winning the Stanley Cup. It was over what they had to go through in the bubble, where during that interview, he goes, I don't think anybody understands. Like, you're in this bubble. And he goes, I missed my family. I missed swim practices. I missed my kids growing up. I missed all of it because I was stuck in this bubble. And
right.
he goes, all of us in here, he goes, everyone, not just because we won, everyone was mentally and physically exhausted because all you're there to do is eat, sleep, and play hockey all day long. And he goes,
For months
on end in this bubble. And he goes, I think it was Scott Van Pelt who said, look, there should be an asterisk this year with the Stanley Cup, but going the other way of the hardest Stanley Cup to ever win because of the circumstances
maybe.
You were under to do it. And I agree with that assessment. But hats off to Tampa. I didn't believe in you. I had you out in the first or second round in that. Congratulations to Zach Hurd. We will get to the spreads here, kids. I know that's what everybody's coming for. Ross, give me the numbers. Shut the fuck up and give me the numbers. We will. We got some sponsors, though, that pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost is our chief sponsor, KillcliffCBD.com. Best in the biz, 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. 4 amazing flavors. Strawberry now, that's the new one.
Strawberry days, yeah.
I haven't had it. Fucking haven't had
it. It's very good.
Grape, mango, and orange kush. The grape is still my favorite. I had a can last night. I drink it every night. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. Go to KillcliffCBD.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 20% off and free shipping. The beauty of that is there is no THC in this. So if you've got some backaches or joint issues or whatever it is, you will not piss hot on a drug test. That is guaranteed. Killcliff is the only name that you can trust in the CBD drinkable space. Go to KillcliffCBD.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off. Next up, we've got MyBookie.com. Look, MyBookie.com, that's MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposits. For all you new depositors out there, that's where everybody's betting this year. That's where I'm betting this year. Their new interface has been unbelievably easy to use. They listen to you. They listen to us. They changed their website. It is fucking great. There is no better time than gambling right now in the history of sports because all these sports are jumbled up into one. I mean, fuck. We've got the NBA playoffs or the NBA finals starting tonight with the Lakers and Heat. We've got college, NFL, NHL just ended. And now we've got the fucking Major League Baseball playoffs. I know you're betting a Major League playoff baseball. Who are you betting, by the way?
Well, today I'm going to be betting the White Sox and Oakland A's. Because I really, well, the A's do pretty well against lefties, I guess, but Keuchel's going. And it's I think it's +1.5 for them. Hang on, let me find it. Where the fuck is it, man? Let's see.
Yeah, so for me personally.
Yeah, it's right here.
Well, yeah, well, go ahead, pull it up.
It's +1.5 White Sox, and I bet it earlier.
Okay, and you took the White Sox?
Yep.
Gotcha. So for me personally, Dan's great at betting individual baseball games. I am not. I'm great at picking individual series. Therefore, I'm going to wait for the ALCS and NLCS and then the World Series. Those are my three big bets. In baseball in the playoffs. Dan's great at picking individual baseball games. I am not. So listen to Dan on that one, not me. And that's why I'm not going to give you an MLB pick tonight.
I won my first 9 bets in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna give you those, but I will give you the series once these shake out. I would give it to you now, but they've expanded the playoffs, and it seems like there's 100 teams playing. So
yeah.
I want to wait till it pares down to the ALCS and NLCS.
Well, look, I mean, you could still find favorable matchups. I mean,
yeah,
right now, as of right now, there's only the Blue Jays, Cardinals, Yankees, Brewers games left today to bet on. Brewers and Dodgers, I mean, it's fucking Bueller for the Dodgers, and he throws fucking gas.
Right.
I mean, he throws the ball very hard. He might be one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, the Brewers are obviously starting a lefty against that lineup. But the Dodgers, it's as far as baseball lineups go, it's either the Dodgers or the Braves are the best offensive team in baseball. And I only say the only reason I exclude the Yankees is because they can't keep a team on the fucking field. If they could keep their team healthy, I don't think anybody's in the same league as them.
No.
But they can't keep their team healthy. I mean, between fucking, Judge and Torres, everybody on that goddamn team can hit. LeMahieu, everybody can hit.
Judge hit a fucking 2-run bomb last night.
You cannot fucking go up, by the way, in the playoffs especially. If you see the starting pitcher for one of the teams is one of those guys that uses get me over strikes early in the count, go ahead and bet against him because he's going to lose in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Those guys always lose.
Yeah.
That's why, like Tom Glavine, midway through and towards the end of his career started to have success, but early on in his playoff career, he's one of those guys that throws that get me over curveball a lot, and very often it would get raked.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to. That's why I'm good at betting baseball, right? Because you have to drill down deeply. If you're not a super fan of baseball and the way matchups work and all this stuff, I would not bet on it at all, ever.
Yeah, frankly,
because it's very intricate and hard to do.
But we got some comments here on the side of our YouTube page saying NBA gross. We're not watching the NBA finals. I've heard that from a lot of people. Actually,
I'm not watching it.
I've heard that from everyone, and I understand it. To be honest with you, man, it is very, very political, and with the LeBron James bullshit, like. I'm predicting this will be the lowest rated NBA finals in the history of basketball.
It might be, and that would be really embarrassing. I mean, it's already been embarrassing for the NBA so far.
Right.
They like kind of went on mini strike for whatever reason, and that didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just decided to come back because they didn't want to forego the season. Obviously, it wasn't about anything.
No.
They just decided to play because they wanted to play, which is fine, by the way. That's exactly what they should have done.
Yeah.
Make up your mind to do what you want to fucking do. You don't have to do anything, but the ratings have been down somewhere between 27 and 29% throughout the playoffs, including the very first game back after quarantine. You know what I mean? So it's like, it'd be one thing if all the other sports were facing that. I don't know what baseball's ratings have been so far towards the end of the season. I mean, that was their regular season.
They have not been great.
But
and by the way, part of it is where they're playing and they're playing schedule. Do you know a lot of these playoffs are on ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, you've got to pay extra for that subscription. And it's like, man, I don't know what they're doing with their sports and why they're diluting it the way they are.
The wild card round has, over the last couple of years, typically been on Turner Sports somehow, like TBS or TNT or whatever the fuck.
Or ESPN.
Yeah. Actually, it was on ABC Family some too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And back in the day. And True TV, So, but now it's ESPN's got that contract now. We'll see how it goes. I mean, look, an ESPN Plus is like $5 a month. I don't think, I'm pretty sure most sports fans have ESPN Plus at this point, right?
I wonder. I'm not sure. Look, I have it, and the only reason I bought it originally was for MMA.
Yeah, UFC.
For UFC, yeah. So I didn't even know, because the Braves are on, obviously, and the Yankees game was on last night, and I was popping it up for my wife, and she's a Yankees fan, and I was like, oh, shit, it's on ESPN+.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Our last sponsor is GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. Now's the time to get a mattress. With all of these sports getting good and the weather starting to cool down, ass-eating season starting tomorrow, there is no better time to get a mattress than today. We'll be talking about ass-eating season tomorrow on Fake News.
We will, yeah.
And real excited about that, as you should be as well. If you are eating ass, do it on a Ghost Bed mattress. There is no finer mattress to eat an ass on than ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. If you're a member of the military, a first responder, a teacher, or work in the government, you get 30% off. If you're just a dummy like me who's just walking around with his big dumb dick picking every fucking sports spread there is, then you only get 25% off. But you do get two free pillows with a mattress, so congratulations on that. And as always, they have a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. D'Anthony.
Yep.
You know the rules. I'm going to read the spreads off of ESPN. You're going to look them up on mybookie.com. That way we can tell what Gen Pop has and then what people are actually betting. Gen Pop is ESPN. Mybookie.com is for us gambling men here. We will start with college football. And, whew, man, it's going to be a hard year, guys. And I for me personally, before we get into these numbers, I am going to slow play college football this year until the Big Ten gets back, until some of these teams really shake out to who they are. I feel a lot of these spreads are high, and I feel a lot of these spreads are going to be high here for Saturday. We will start off with Louisiana Tech and BYU. That is the Friday night game. Which, look, Friday night games are always fun to bet because there's nothing else on.
Right.
This Friday, though, we have the NBA Finals and this. So if you want to double dip and go back and forth, it's going to be on ESPN2. You bet on BYU last week. It was a good bet. It is BYU minus 24.
Not a chance.
Right?
I will never give BYU 24 points. I don't care if they're playing a high school team. They're just, I mean, and La Tech can throw points up too.
They can.
They're one of those fucking teams that can all of a sudden come out and score fucking 50 on you. So yeah, there's no fucking way.
And the over under is 58.5 on this.
No
way. I am not going to touch that with my American dollars. And I suggest you don't either. Next up, we got Florida against South Carolina. That is the noon game on Saturday. This is Florida minus 17.5.
Mm.
A lot of points.
I mean, Florida looked pretty damn good against Mississippi.
And they covered against Mississippi.
Yeah, they scored 51 points. Yes. I mean,
wait, what was the final score?
It was 51 to 30-something. 30,
was it 38? Bump it up. Bump it up. Bump it up. Bump it up.
It was
51-35.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yep.
That is close. That's that spread was 14. That's close. Look, South Carolina doesn't air out the ball like Mississippi State does.
No. I'm good with Florida at 17.5 here. I'll probably take it to 17 though.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, but in real life, does my money go there? Check in on Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook
up,
on this.
It's up to 18 now on my bookie. Everybody's betting Florida.
Okay, so people are betting Florida.
Yeah,
look, I think they'll win, and again, they're my sleeper team to come out of the SEC and play Alabama this year. So we'll see. That's a lot of points. I have a tough time saying that.
Those are Big Lee points.
Big Lee. Next up, TCU against Texas. This is here.
We should go to this
Austin.
Game.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking Jax to, because I get a child soccer game right before this, and I can just roll right down the street and have a few beers. This is Texas minus 12. Mm-hmm. That will be a 11 a.m. start time. Is that right?
Yep. Firm on that.
Yikes. For us, 11 a.m. Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not going to that.
maybe not on that one.
The over is 62 and a half.
The over is 62 and a half. So it's come down. It was 63 on ESPN. So people are taking this down. I don't know. This is a hard one because there is no defense in the Big 12. Yes, I could see this being a fucking 42 to 21 game easily.
Like, I mean, fucking Texas hasn't not scored 59 points yet.
Yeah.
Like that's their low. But it's only two games, but still TCU is TCU. They're okay, but who they play? Iowa State, and they gave up 37 points.
Look, the spread is 12. Texas did not cover last week against Texas Tech, for Christ's sakes. The Big 12 is going to be tough, man, because there's no defense. I don't know what to say. Texas doesn't look dominant. Oklahoma certainly does not look dominant. That is a lot of points to bet on for this. Like, fuck me, man. This was higher, by the way, earlier in the week.
63, you said? The spread?
63 is the
or
over.
The over? Or the spread
minus
was higher?
Minus 12 was the spread. Yeah, the spread was higher. It was at 13.5.
I think Texas is good for this.
Okay.
I think Ellinger's been inaccurate so far. For his liking, and he hasn't really thrown the ball that much. I mean, considering it's a Big 12 offense,
right?
I mean, he's thrown the ball 73 times in two games. What's that? 36 and a half per game.
Whew.
That's not that many throws for a Big 12 team with a good quarterback. Mm. They throw the ball 40 plus times usually, unless they have a great running back.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, they're. I think they can pull this one out.
I think Texas will win this by two touchdowns, but it would be irresponsible for me to tell you to bet on it when I'm probably not
going to. Well, I'm going to, but I'm don't.
Are you really?
But don't if you're.
Are you taking the over? Are you taking the spread?
I'm taking the spread on this.
Okay.
I should take that over too, though. To be honest, that's a fucking. Come on, man. That's a 33.
I get
30
it.
30 game.
I'm in on that. Yeah.
I'll take the over.
I bet 35 to 20. That'll cover it. Actually, no, it won't. It'll be 55. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to touch it. Sorry. Missouri is playing at Tennessee. The gentleman who was just on the phone, we asked him before he came on who his college team was. He's a Vols guy. Look.
I'm not betting on this game.
We're good. It is 11.5. Missouri beat the spread against Alabama last week.
Tennessee only beat South Carolina by, 4 points or something like that? Not a chance.
Missouri might actually win this game. That's the scary thing.
I'm
going
to be watching this game probably because, or at least
I am too.
Flipping back to it because I want Tennessee to be good.
And so do I, but
there's a chance they might be.
They're falling in the rankings and they won. So that's a bad sign. Yeah. And Missouri, dude, they covered against Alabama. Say whatever you want, but
we'll see.
11.5 is dangerous, man. I wouldn't do it. I would not do it. NC State against Pittsburgh, minus 14 in this one. Look, I've been right on all of the Pitt spreads so far. However, I've taken the other team. I took Louisville against Pittsburgh. So 14 points for these two teams. But I know Pittsburgh is 3-0. Is that the game that you're throwing all your money on? Is it a two-touchdown game for Pittsburgh and
NC
State?
No, I mean, Pittsburgh played. They've won their last two games by a combined 14 points. Mm-hmm. So to give them that much credit. Probably not.
No. And by the way, if you're out at home listening right now or watching on YouTube and you're like, dude, Ross, I want the fucking numbers. My NFL picks tomorrow, I'm going heavy on the NFL this weekend. Mm. Love those games. I do not like the college games. These are a lot of fucking points, man. So I'm not going to do this
one. 14 for a team. Like NC State sucks, obviously, but they're not that shitty and Pittsburgh is not that great.
No.
The idea that they're going to come out and win by more then their combined last two wins that's just bad data, honestly. Unless it was a shitty, shitty team. If it was like Maryland or somebody like that,
But I think Vegas is having a really hard time as well, man. Where it's like, how do you predict these spreads? How do you put numbers on these? Same with this next game, right? This is the 3:30 game, and this might be the best college game of the day. It's Texas A&M number 13 against number 2 Alabama. The spread is 17 points for Alabama. Texas A&M is a pretty goddamn decent team.
They have a good defense.
Yes. 17 offense, points. Yeah, offense is
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right. But, I mean, yeah, that defense is pretty tight.
Is that Bond kid their quarterback?
For Texas A&M?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his name?
Bond. James Bond.
I don't know. That sounds Mond. With an M.
That's
yeah.
it. Kellen Mond.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And
he's their quarterback.
Their running back is pretty good too. Spiller. Yeah. Is he related to CJ Spiller?
I don't know. But what I do know is 17 is a lot of points. Alabama did not look that crisp last week. You know, is the SEC, here's the other thing you got to ask yourself, is the SEC just that good? We said before the season started, the SEC was going to be the most brutal conference ever this year because of all the coaches and all the craziness. Therefore, when you get into a spread that is this high at 17, I mean, that is a 3-score game. For a Texas A&M team, that's pretty goddamn decent.
That's tough. That's tough. I mean, look, you can't Alabama's pretty new offensively as well. Like, the guy got some good fucking looks last year because homeboy was hurt.
Mac Jones.
But that's not enough, and we saw with Burrow's got a full goddamn season at LSU, and it took him that whole next year just to fucking finally show up and be the guy that we now know. You know what I mean? So I think Alabama is going to be pretty good this year. I think next year they're going to be really fucking good.
Really good, yeah.
Like, they'll probably be as good as Ohio State is this year and next year, but it's not next year. It's this year, and I'm not betting on this game.
Me neither. The next one is North Carolina against Boston College. Oof. This is North Carolina minus 14 at Boston College. Boston College is a tricky team, man. They grind these games out.
It is, and it's weird as fuck to see the University of North Carolina with a 12 beside their name in football, honestly. And that's bizarre as fuck to me. Especially after all the fucking Big Ten teams came back into the rankings, when I saw North Carolina still in the top 15, I'm like, it's the ACC, brother. I mean, would you put a MAC team in there? Come on. The only reason Clemson climbs the rankings like that is because they have demonstrated their dominance over the years, right? Even in losing, they don't ever lose that ugly.
No.
So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe, hopefully they're great. It'd be great if all five of these major conferences had two or three really, really good teams.
Yeah.
Like Alabama and LSU or Clemson and North Carolina, whomever it is, Miami maybe. You know what I mean? It'd be great, but it's not reality.
No, it's not reality, and that is a tough spread, man. 14 on the road against, you know, a gritty Boston College team that's 2-0.
And I like how Michigan is ranked 23rd and they haven't played a fucking game yet.
Is Michigan exist?
Wisconsin is ranked 19th. Ohio State is ranked
by 6th. The way, the best shot out there in the presidential election last night was Trump saying, I brought the Big Ten football back.
Yeah, that was a good move on his
love
part.
Love to hear it. He made a laugh lot for 1,000 years. That's why I wore the Ohio State shirt today, because then he shouted out Ohio.
He made a lot of mistakes yesterday, too. We'll talk about that on the fake news tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
Everybody made mistakes. People keep asking us.
It was a train wreck of a debate, but we will answer all of that tomorrow on the fake news. This is sports.
What's the next one?
And this next game is South Florida against Cincinnati.
These American Conference teams are so unreliable when it comes to gambling.
Cincinnati's covered this year, but it's at minus 22, and that's a 4-score game right
there. Yeah, that's, I mean, look, they've...
an Abraham Lincoln game. That's a 4-score and 7 years ago game, and I don't like it.
South Florida played Notre Dame last week and lost 52-0. Now, how much better is Notre Dame than Cincinnati? I would say...
I don't know.
Not that much.
No.
Frankly, so I'm actually going to take this game. If only to, like, it's mostly
for you.
A fuck you to Notre Dame.
Of course.
Like, I mean, if you can do it, Cincinnati can too. I just have no faith in them, the fact that they rocked their ass.
Sure.
Because Notre Dame's got a habit of fucking playing down to their competition. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I just, to me, this is just a thumb in the eye for them. Fuck them. I don't care about the money.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Next up is Oklahoma State at Kansas. Oklahoma State is somehow hanging on to that 17 rank. This is minus 21 for Oklahoma State. No. Kansas could fucking, they always shock somebody every year. Like, no, dude, that's too many points. Oklahoma State almost lost their first fucking game.
Yeah.
To like a no-name school, man.
If it were week five, I would probably take this bet.
Yeah. But not
because
now.
Of the lack of the preseason and all that, not the preseason, but the training camps and all that stuff and just the chaotic nature right now, there's no way I'm taking this.
I agree.
Same thing with the next one, Memphis and SMU.
It's Memphis minus three.
It's a pick'em basically. I mean, it's a minus six technically because they're at SMU, but there's no fans. So I think maybe it's just a pick'em because they're probably not factoring that in at this point.
The over is the most hilarious over I've seen this year. It is 74.5 in this game.
Like how do you bet a 3-point spread when 75 points are going to get scored? You know how low your odds are of making the right decision right there? That's bad math, man. Don't do it.
It's bad math. So we're going to get to the game that I'm actually going to bet my money on this week. And this is the one college game that I am going to bet my money on. This is Auburn at Georgia. This is Georgia minus 6.5.
Taking Auburn in that game.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to take Georgia.
Let's make
in
it
this
the fight
game.
Club game.
Yeah,
of the
we'll
week.
Make it the fight club game of the fight club game of the week.
I just really want Auburn to be good.
Auburn at Georgia. So dude, here's the real shit, right? Mm-hmm. I picked Auburn as my lock of the week last week. It was I put $1,000 on it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the gentleman we just had on the show, Josh Harris.
But Kentucky's a pretender.
Bet $1,000 on it. I agree. And I think Auburn is as well. Watching that game was like watching the debate last night. It was a fucking car crash. It was 8-7. At half in the Auburn-Kentucky game. And then Auburn pulled away in the fourth quarter and everybody won money and we all partied and danced and drank in the streets. They did not look good. Their defense did not look good. And they're Auburn I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Auburn is very, very susceptible to the run game. Georgia has a great run game. And I believe they got their fucking quarterback back this week.
Did they? I didn't know that. That might change my bet. Georgia, I thought he was so still out. That Zamir White kid is good, though.
Yes.
I mean, he's not as good as some of Georgia's more recent running backs. I mean, they cranked out a couple. I mean, like, shit.
So, this is 2 days ago. Georgia's transfer, JT Daniels, has been medically cleared to play, and he will be able to start against Auburn on Saturday. That is why my money is going on Georgia. So this is my one college football lock of the week. I'm going Georgia in this one. And it is simply based on Auburn's defense looked like garbage trash. They can be ran all over. I think Georgia will run all over them and they will win by a touchdown. It is at 6.5. Get it at 6.5. Is it still on 6.5 on my bookie?
Georgia.
If it is not, by a half a point.
What the fuck?
Gotta give it to me, brother.
Yeah, it's 6.5.
6.5. All right. So that's 6.5. That is the number that I am taking. I'm going to bet that as soon as we get off air. I'm taking this Georgia game.
I'm not fucking with that one.
6.5. I am.
To be honest, I mean, I didn't know that quarterback was coming back. He hasn't taken a snap this year.
He is not.
I'm never going to bet on a quarterback that hasn't taken a snap.
I will. He is great. And I think this is what they're missing. Look, the rest of Georgia's team, in all honesty, is fucking great. Mm. And if Jake Fromm would have come back, I would have had Georgia winning the SEC this year.
Maybe. I mean, Alabama doesn't look like Alabama. So
not yet. Yeah. We'll see as it goes on. But therefore, with this kid back and how shitty Auburn looked last week, Georgia's at home. I think they have fans in the stands there, too, a little bit at least. So fuck it. They're between the hedges. Let's get wet. I'm betting on Georgia, and I might throw in Ariana Grande. This is also the Saturday night game of the week on ESPN, so I'm amped about this. It's going to be 72 degrees in Athens, Georgia. There's going to be a lot of widespread playing all throughout that campus. A lot of people drinking fucking margs, dude, at Mexicali's. So I'm going Georgia on this one. That's my lock of the week in college. Next up, we get Tulsa at UCF. Not going to bet this one. It's minus 21.5 for UCF.
Nope.
Congratulations on all that. But playing Tulsa, bro.
Yeah.
I realized you were national champions. UCF, Dan, still has the national championship ring. No. But it's Tulsa. And look, man, again, that would be irresponsible. I only do this fucking show to tell you to win money. Like, it would be irresponsible of me to say, hey, go on, fucking bet this game. Don't fucking bet this game.
They played Georgia Tech and Eastern Carolina so far, UCF has, and the quarterback's completion percentage is only like 67%.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nah.
They also played my dad's
buddies. It should be 75% if you're playing those two teams.
I agree. It would be like, you might as well put my dad's buddies just getting off of work at the coal mine to play against UCF and then put a spread on it. Like, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. Don't put your fucking money on that. Next up is Arkansas.
This one's kind of interesting, to be honest.
Yes, it is. At against 18, Mississippi State.
Because Mississippi State made LSU look like a not good football team last week.
Correct. And Arkansas is a not good football team.
They are a very not good football team.
And the over is our favorite number.
69.
And it's during fucking ass-eating season? Because by the time this game is played on Saturday, it will be October 3rd. You'll be in day three of eating ass with a 69 over.
You don't want to miss any days either.
No, you do not want to miss any days. For the fuck of it, for the spread eagle jack of it, I'm going to take this down a point and a half and get this at 16.5 for Mississippi State, just because I enjoy watching that offense. Mm. I want to see what the fuck this kid's going to do. He threw for 623 yards last week. I want to see what he's going to do for the second week. That's rad. Next up, Oklahoma.
Oof.
Boy, Oklahoma fans, you're not listening to the show because your head is still buried in a fucking hole after last week, and I understand it. So you're not even hearing this, so it doesn't matter anyways, because it's still there. You're playing Iowa State. You're both 1-1. The spread is -7 for Oklahoma. Do you trust this game?
No, it's too inconsistent. Rattler needs – I need to see him two more games probably before I will trust him to bet on him again, because he did not look great.
Did not.
Although
look great.
he's completion percentage wise, lighting it the fuck up. He just like there was a bunch of commentary this morning and yesterday morning about the Cowboys, right? About Dak Prescott specifically.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you look at the numbers and you're like, man, this guy deserves $40 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, you look at his numbers in each game. You look at his numbers like, hey, this guy deserves that money. Then you look at him in crunch time and he doesn't get it done.
No.
In the playoffs, he's not good.
Nope.
And down the stretch in the two-minute drill and things like that, coming from behind late in the game, he's not good. He's not good at closing out games. Makes a lot of mistakes in those scenarios. So what is it worth to you? This is about winning games. It's not about putting up stats. And when I see a guy that looks great, his stats all look great, but for some reason his team doesn't feel like it has a leader for a quarterback, I'm like, nah, I'm not betting on you, guy. Sorry.
No.
Not until you fucking get your shit straight.
Prove yourselves. Fucking Pat Mahomes Jr., prove yourself.
And this next one, LSU and Vanderbilt. I'm not comfortable with LSU yet either. Yeah,
no,
I mean, against Vanderbilt,
no.
They're definitely going to win against
Vanderbilt.
They're
definitely
going to
win against Vanderbilt.
But 20 points?
It's -20 in this game.
Come on, man. There's no way.
Congratulations, LSU fans can get a win and at least feel good about yourself and then go back on the board and say, go Tigers, and we're going to win the national championship.
Yep.
No, you're not. You're number 20 right now, and it's going to get worse once the Big Ten teams enter. The race, it's a rebuild year, kids. I think you're going to be rebuilding for the next 2 to 3 years, to be honest with you. Miles Brennan didn't look that great. LSU's going to be rebuilding. You want to bet on this, fine, but I'm not going to touch it.
No.
And then we got Clemson again, man. We can set our watch to what this Clemson spread is going to be every
28,
week. Yes.
27 or 28, and if it's a really shitty team, it's going to be like 31.
35, yeah.
Yeah, or somewhere in there. It's this is...
dumb. What are we doing anymore? Virginia against Clemson, it's -28.
Not yet. I'm not going to take this bet yet.
Nope.
Because, again, if it was week five, I would. But we haven't seen Clemson play a school that should even be a D1 school yet, because the Citadel shouldn't be, and Wake Forest probably in football should not be either.
Yes.
So this will be a telling game. If they blow them out here, then you got to jump on board the Clemson train.
Yes. Yeah,
because what it means is that Trevor Lawrence is focused. And this is the problem with people like Dak as well. They have the ability. They have all the ability. But can you take the ability and match it with the drive and perform like people like Jordan did? Or like even, I mean, as many finals as he lost, LeBron James, fucking Pete Rose, people that just like, they wanted to win more than they wanted to breathe.
Right.
I don't get that out of Dak Prescott.
No.
And I don't get it out of a lot of players. Trevor Lawrence seems like he's on a mission this year so far. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 30 out of 37 this year.
He's looked great.
Yeah.
He's looked great, but 28 points is a lot.
Yeah, I'm not betting
that. The fun thing about this, look, with all these college games is there is tickets, and you are able to go to most of these games. So go to drinkingbrostickets.com today. Get all your tickets. I'm going to go there. My wife just walked in. That soccer game is at 9 a.m. that I'm coaching. Obviously, everybody knows that I'm a championship soccer coach. I might even coach Team USA to the next World Cup. We'll see how I'm feeling if I want to do it. But it's a 9 a.m. start time for me. That Texas game is super fucking early at 11 a.m. this week. Why? I don't know. Maybe I'll take him out to soccer down the street. Let him watch a little college football. Throw some Skittles in his mouth, you know? Who knows? And I'll go to drinkingbrostickets.com. I'll do shots. He can do some Skittles, and we can enjoy our afternoon. 11 a.m., that's such an early game. The only reason I'm going to be up for it is that soccer game. So maybe. Go to drinkingbrostickets.com today for all of these tickets. And shit, like sweet tickets for the Cowboys games are going for like $150 right now. Cowboys, bro, they're in town. They're playing the Browns. We're going to swap on over to the NFL and talk about it. The Thursday night game.
Another one. I think your theory is right. They don't want to waste any good games when they don't have the ad rights.
They do not want to waste any good games when these games are not televised on CBS. These shitty games are on NFL Network, and they're putting the worst teams they possibly can together, and it's the Broncos and the Jets. 2-0-3 teams. The Broncos have lost everyone to injuries. I can't even name a fucking starter on that team anymore. They're on their third-string quarterback. You know that, right?
Yeah.
If you know who that is, send in his family info. We just want to make sure that is a real person.
I don't know who it is.
Melvin Gordon. He's probably voting by mail.
Melvin Gordon's the only guy I know that's in their starting lineup.
He's hurt.
No. It's Philip Lindsay. Yeah.
Yes. Lindsay's out. Philip Lindsay's hurt. I know.
They got Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy too, but
Jerry Judy's hurt.
Who the fuck's throwing to him?
He ended up playing last minute, but I don't know who their quarterback is. Look, kids, I know I threw some junky money, and I always do this on a Thursday night game. I put it on Minshew last week just to do it. I'm not doing it this week. I'm not going to light $100 on fire and do it for this game. This is fucking awful. I don't like it. I'm not
Skip it.
Into it. Skip it.
What's next?
Move on with your life. What is next is my lock of the week in the NFL, and I'm all in on this fucking game. Now's the time to get excited, baby. Now's the time to get your dick hard.
Is it the Steelers-Titans? Not happening?
No, they're going to replay that on Tuesday. This is the Colts against the Bears, and this is Indianapolis -2.5. Bears fans, you're going to be super amped with me on this one. I am taking the Bears with the points at home with Big Dick Nick Foles now as your starting quarterback.
I think that
torch to the Falcons.
They are energized right now.
Yes.
They're feeling it.
They've always had a great defense.
And they don't have, I mean, Tariq Cohen is good.
He's out for the year. He's out for the year. And I don't care about that. I don't care that Tariq Cohen's out for the year.
Mm.
It is Big Dick Nick.
Montgomery's doing
the
pretty well,
around.
Though.
Yeah, Montgomery's fine.
What's his nuts? Robinson looks really good this year. He's actually on my fantasy team.
Dude, the receivers really for the Bears are good. They never had a quarterback to throw to them. I always said is just get a decent quarterback in there. Now you have Big Dick Nick. That whole team is re-energized. They're pumped as shit.
I mean, shit, Jimmy Graham's got 3 touchdowns.
Fuck yeah.
Like, his career is born anew all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Now that fucking Nick's back in the lineup here.
He's back from the fucking dead.
And by the way, Mitchell Trubisky's exactly where he should be. And then the number 2 hole.
Clipboard.
That's where he should be.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. No,
and he'll probably end up being a great fucking commentator one day.
And a great dad.
He's not we'll see. But he's definitely not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't know if he beats his wife. I don't know. I don't even know if he has any kids.
I don't even know.
But he looks
married.
Like a great dad and a good backup quarterback. He's where he should be on the bench. Mm. He'll have a lot more time to spend with the kids because he's not going to be in the film room anymore because he's not starting. I'm all in on the Bears this week. I am. Mm. That is my favorite game. I love it. I want to watch it and see Big Dick Nick throw for fucking 400 yards. As long as he stays healthy, I like this game a lot. Because the Colts have been very hit and miss. They are 2-1, but it has not been pretty, all of these games. And the Bears are 3-0, and I think, you know, Big Dick Nick, man, is going to energize his team. Let's go. I'm going 500 on the Bears.
Speaking of not pretty, the next game is the Jaguars at the Bengals. And I could not care any less about this game than I do right now, aside from just looking at the stat line later and seeing what Burrow did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of happening the way I said. He's on his back a lot, throwing way too many passes.
Yeah.
Percentage is bullshit. I think his percentage has got to be like in the high 50s or some shit.
And
like
they
that.
Tied last week. There is one tie a year in the NFL. And whenever it happens, you almost feel like each team should just walk out to midfield with handguns and blow each other away because it's the most worthless fucking thing in sports. A tie is awful in the NFL. You never see it. I'm not touching this game.
No way.
It's -3 Cincinnati. The only people who bet this game on this earth are Cincinnati fans. There's 2 Jaguars fans that exist. I don't know where they are, but I know there's 2.
I think they're both in federal prison.
Probably for rape. Next up, though, I am touching this game, and I'm all in on this game. I love this game as well. This is the Browns against the Cowboys. I do not believe in the Browns. They're 2-1. Who do they beat? They beat the fucking Bengals.
Yeah.
And it was close.
And the Washington football team.
And the Washington football team. Those are your two wins. You're going in against Dak Prescott. Look, say what you will. I told you to take Dak Prescott and all your fantasy teams. I have him on 4 out of 7 of mine. He is lighting people's fucking underwear on fire. The Cowboys defense is shitty, but it's not going to matter. It's the Browns, and you're going against Mayfield. Easily, the Cowboys win this by more than a touchdown. So it's at 4.5. I'm all in on the Cowboys. This is another game that I'm betting $500 on.
No, thanks.
Really?
Not taking it because I think there's a good chance the Cowboys are going to get beat here.
Nope.
Their pass rush. Here's how you fuck with Baker Mayfield. You swat passes at the line and you fucking make him run. You hurry him up, right?
Right.
And they just haven't been able to do it this year. Honestly.
No, I'm all in on the Cowboys. Cowboys fans, I'm with you. The over-under is 55 on this. I bet you the Cowboys put up 45 fucking points this game. I'm all in.
They're going to score some points. I'm all in.
Dude, the Browns, no way. There's no fucking way.
We'll see what kind of player Dak is this week. And when I say that, what kind of player, I mean mentally. Like, does he come out and execute a game plan for 4 consecutive quarters? Does he bounce around? Is he inconsistent during the game? Does he fucking 3rd and long throw a ball at somebody's feet?
He looks pretty goddamn good against the Seahawks last week at the Seahawks. He put up 400 yards.
Yep.
Look, there was a 4th down play. If Russell Wilson doesn't convert, the Cowboys actually beat the Seahawks last week. I'm in on this. And they have a shot to win this division because it is so weak. And they need to keep up with the Bears. So, yes.
It's true. I just think that I think Cleveland's going to fucking jam Nick Chubb down their throat all fucking day. I think they're going to run screen passes with Odell at the line, which have been a problem for fucking Dallas as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think both teams are going to score a lot of points. I just don't know where it's going to land.
It's going to land me with $500 lost then if they lose, because I'm betting $500 on this, and I'm betting $500 on the Bears game. These are monstrous bets for me this weekend. I love the NFL games this weekend. Mm-hmm. I love them. Next up is the Saints versus the Lions. Lions just come off of an impressive victory against the Cardinals on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the Saints, and Saints lost a tight one against the Packers on Monday night. They still look good. The Saints look good. I'm taking the Saints in this one. This will be a lower level bet. It's like a hundo, but I'm going to take the Saints.
Yeah,
I
got the Saints in this one as well.
So I'm fine with it. I think they get out of this little rut. They've played some great teams. I mean, the Lions are clearly not a great team, but I expect them to bounce back, and I get the Saints in this one. So do you. And next up, we got the Seahawks at the Dolphins. Seattle -6.5. Look, Seattle's been playing great football. They're 3-0.
Still Seattle.
But this feels like a trap game.
Yeah, it does.
Feels like a trap game going down to Miami. Everybody's riding high, riding dirty after that Cowboys win last week. Miami is one of those teams, man, that will surprise someone throughout the year, either the Patriots or the Seahawks. And in this case, it might be the Seahawks. I don't think I'm going to bet this game. If I do, it will be in a 6-point teaser where I take away the 6, and it's a 0.5 point, so that way they can win by a field goal, and Russell Wilson can cover but win the game by a field goal.
I think Seahawks will win. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be somewhere between 3- and 4-point win, though.
You know, maybe.
Because I mean, just their style of
it's
football.
Their MO. If they blow them out, they should blow them out.
Yeah.
But do I want to risk it when there's so many great games on the line this weekend?
No, this next game is actually really interesting. I don't know.
I love it. I love this next game. I'm going 500 more in this next game.
Like the Chargers versus the Bucks. That is a good matchup.
It's great.
Really
it's
good
at
defense.
7.
Really good defense and a potentially amazing offense that's just now kind of getting their stride.
Yeah.
So that it's an unstoppable force, immovable object kind of situation. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays
out. Yeah, it is a penis going up against a vagina that has not been the seam isn't open, dude.
Mm.
It's just skin on skin here. And I'm going the Buccaneers. I love this game as well. I'm putting 500 on this as well. This is one of the biggest NFL weekends I will possibly have. I'm going to take it down 0.5 point. So I'm going to take this down to 6.5. Just because I don't want to push in case it is 7. But Tampa Bay's has looked great the last couple weeks. Gronkowski's finally getting involved in the offense. And 6.5 for Brady and the boys against a shitty Chargers team, man. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
So I'm going to take Tampa Bay -6.5. So I will buy that 0.5 point. And they will be in every teaser I have. Because that 6-point teaser, will take it down to 1 or 0.5 point.
Right.
I love it. This next game is a big spread, and we'll talk about it. The Ravens against Washington. Now, the Ravens look like dog shit against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are clearly the greatest team in the NFL.
Most people look like dog shit against the Chiefs.
But I did not expect the Ravens to look like dog shit. The Ravens were favored. Now, I told you guys to go all in on the Chiefs,
yeah.
Which we did. I put them in the parlay. I put 500 on them. The Chiefs absolutely destroyed them. We all won. We danced. We laughed. We ate. We drank. And we beed Mary, as Dave Matthews would say. So, with this one, 13 points is a lot. Haskins made some points. I don't care either.
I'm going fucking Ravens all the way in this.
Are you really?
Yes, dude. The fucking Haskins is 56% on the year, and he hasn't played a defense like this yet.
No.
Like, he's going to get lit the fuck up.
I agree.
He's going to get lit up badly. They're not going to score any points. I'd be surprised if Washington breaks 18 points. I would say somewhere less than that, probably, and I think the Ravens are going to probably put up somewhere in the 30s. Frankly.
Maybe, yeah. But 13 is a lot.
13 is a lot. I'm taking.
I will take this in a 6-point teaser, though. However, so I will tease this again. Go to Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook and join us, and all of your bets on my bookie. Look, my bookie is going to be so pissed off at me for how much money I'm putting off in this game. Holy shit! And I'm telling the audience to do that after winning all these parlays back to back. Jesus Christ! I'm going hard this weekend in the NFL. But this one I'll take in a 6-point teaser probably.
It's Ravens is 13.5, and I'm going to take it down to 12.
So everybody's taking it up.
Yeah.
People are betting this on my bookie. Brother, get on it before it gets up to 14 if you believe in this game. Next up, we get the Cardinals against the Panthers. It's Arizona minus 3.5. It's tough, man. Arizona look like shit against Detroit.
Yeah, they're going west to east
on this one. And
Both of these teams have been super inconsistent. That's not a game you want to bet, frankly.
No. So, look, there's too many great games out there for the NFL today. Great games to bet on. Great, great games. This is not one of them. I'm not going to do it.
The next one would be interesting if there was a fucking spread for it.
Well, the reason there is not is there has been some positive COVID tests.
Mm. Yeah, is this one not postponed yet?
Not yet. So, this is the Vikings against the Texans. 2-0-3 teams. I would have taken the Texans, but I don't know what's going to happen with this game. There's no spread.
Nobody on earth would have guessed that both of these teams would be 0-3 after 3 weeks.
No, dude. I won 8 of 9 games in the NFL overall, including Auburn. I won 8 of 9 games. My only loss was Houston, and it was for 500. I was certain that they were going to at least cover against the Steelers, if not win the game. I did not believe that they would go 0-3.
No.
I can't believe it. But to their credit, though, the three losses they have been against the best teams.
Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs,
they lost to the Ravens, and they lost to the Steelers. Mm. Besides the Patriots, those are the three best teams in the NFC, so I kind of understand. But
it is what it is. We'll see.
I would have bet them this game.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. If they decide they're going to play later in the week, we'll put it out on the private group.
Yeah.
Next is Giants and Rams.
-12 I have. Do you have something else?
It's -12 on there. It is -13 on my bookie.
So everybody's betting this game. I agree with it. The Rams are going to fucking destroy them.
Yeah.
A depleted 49ers team kicked the shit out of the Giants last week.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had one offensive starter playing for the 49ers last week, and they beat the shit out of the Giants at the Giants.
Yep.
This Giants team is done. With Barkley out, this Giants team is done. They don't have an offensive line. They don't have shit there. I don't blame you for taking this spread. I'm going to take it in a teaser for sure. But the Rams all day in this one.
I'm taking the Rams at 13. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's up to 13. And the next game, too, I'm taking the Patriots at the Chiefs. It's -7 Chiefs. Are you fucking kidding me?
Bro,
like here's
this game.
Here's the deal: if fucking Patrick Mahomes is playing a team that he feels like is a threat, he's gonna light their ass up. He may fucking come in against the Chargers and dick around like the Warriors did, you know, historically when they played shitty teams. But in this game, he's gonna go the fuck off. He's gonna throw for 350 to 400 yards, probably 3 or 4 touchdowns. I mean, this is a ludicrous spread right here.
I believe the exact same thing, and I was shocked to see it. I could not believe it. For the sake of not wanting to push, just in case the Chiefs decide not to show up again, they'll still win by a touchdown. So I'm going to take it at 6.5. But I'm the same, man. Like, it is hard not to throw $500 on this game too, man. So
I might actually throw a bunch of money on this one.
God damn it. Like, I don't understand. I love it, and it's going to be great for teasers and all that shit. But if you're at home, whenever there's a weekend this great where you like – I've never loved this many games on a Sunday before. Like, ever. I didn't last week, for sure. Not in the NFL. Like, dude, go with the ones that you think. I wouldn't go on all of them, but Man. But
this next game is pretty cool, too. The Bills at the Raiders. I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams. You see that reflected in the spread here.
The spread is exactly where it should be at -3.
This is going to be a really good game.
Great game.
Like, there's a lot of young players on both sides. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs, Josh Allen. There's a lot of new players, you know, on both teams. And they both seem to have been putting it together so far. This is one of the games that I'm definitely going to watch.
I'm going to watch the shit out of it. Betting it, though,
I don't think I'm going to bet.
I don't either.
I think it's going to be a great game, but I'm not going to bet on it.
Same. This is a really hard game to bet. And there's so many great games to bet on that why risk it on a game that's probably going to be close?
Yeah.
Both of these teams have looked sexy and fun to watch. Don't put your American dollars on it, but there's a lot of Raiders fans that probably will.
And this next one is kind of shitty, too.
It's terrible.
It's the Eagles at the 49ers. I don't know who's playing for which team. I know Carson Wentz is going to play, but I don't know which guy. I don't know if it's good Carson Wentz or shitbag Carson Wentz that refuses to run their goddamn offense.
And
like he's playing the 1990s version of Hero Ball, the early 2000s in the NBA, where you just like fucking dribble for 20 seconds and then take your shot. That's what he's doing right now, and he's losing every game. Everybody else on the team, you know, is doing their thing, but he is losing them games right now. Him personally, he's losing them games.
I agree. I don't know one starter for the 49ers.
I don't either.
So
yeah, I don't know
who's
playing
for
them.
Yeah. Everybody, it's like fucking MASH.
Yep.
I feel like I'm watching Clooney on ER save a bunch of lives out here. And I don't know any of these fucking people. Therefore, I'm not betting this game. There's so many great games to bet on.
Yeah.
This isn't the one.
And the last weekend game is Steelers-Titans. That one's postponed. Maybe they play Tuesday.
If they play Tuesday, check back into Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. The junkie in me will have a fuck ton of money on that game. And a Tuesday night NFL game, there is no other game that your wife will hate you more for than a Tuesday night NFL game, because that means she had to watch football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then there's a Thursday game next week. Oh, my gosh. Throw a little bit of extra lube in your hand, because it's going to be a fucking jack sesh if this gets postponed to Tuesday. 2-3-0 teams, that'll be a fucking blast.
Yeah, that'd be a good game, too, because they match up pretty well.
Send the kids to your grandparents, because you're going to spread eagle jack.
Last is the Monday night game, and this is another one where the spread makes no sense to me. It's Falcons at Packers in Lambeau. Not that it's real Lambeau right now, because there's not fans there.
Yeah.
But the Packers, like Aaron Rodgers has never in his career looked better than he does right now.
Right.
I don't know if it was a rift between him and McCarthy, because for years he had this fucking reputation where he wouldn't run the offense. He wanted to throw all the time. Doesn't seem to be a problem now.
Right.
Like last year he distributed more. This year he's distributing more, and it's working out for him. Maybe he learned something. Maybe it was an issue with him and McCarthy, but whatever it is, that offense is clicking like a motherfucker right now.
Yeah.
And I expect him to put up 40 points a game, because that's exactly what the fuck he's been doing. He's averaging 39.5 points per game right now.
I agree.
For that team. And the Falcons are probably going to score a lot of points too, but they're not going to score that many. The spread is Green Bay -7.5 right now.
So as a Falcons fan, diehard Falcons fan, you know that I clearly don't have any bias towards teams, because I tell you every year that the Falcons aren't going to win the Super Bowl. They're fucking awful. And I wouldn't fucking bet on the Falcons to win ever. Look at the last two out of the last 3 weeks. We've blown epic leads. Last week to the Bears, they were a 20-point lead. The Cowboys was disgusting. The Patriots, all that shit. Why we haven't fired our coach, I have no fucking idea.
I really thought he was gone after that last blow up. But
if I was the owner of that team after we lost that lead last week, I would say, you know what? Not only can you not get on the fucking plane next week, I want your car. Give me the keys to your car. I don't want you fucking traveling anywhere.
And take his shoes as well.
Take his fucking shoes. Make him walk home barefoot. Take one sock. Make one foot get all fucked up and the other one kind of normal. But fuck him. Fuck Dan Quinn. Fire the coach. Start over. Don't bet the Falcons this week. I'm going to take this down 1 point
and take the
Packers and take it at 6.5 and be on my way.
I'm taking the over at 58, too, because, again, what I was talking about earlier in the show, these are two of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Against much better defenses, the Packers are averaging 39.5 points a game. They're going to do that again this week. They're going to score about 38 to 40 points, and you're most of the way there. The Falcons will probably score 25.
I'm not betting the over in this game. That is way too many points for me, and I don't know which Falcons team will show up at all, or if any. And I don't know if Julio Jones is going to play. So that's why I'm personally not going to bet it, but Dan is.
I'll probably wait to see if Julio's in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I'm investing
in that.
He's
got a hamstring injury. So.
He's on my fantasy team, too, and I want to put him in my fucking starting lineup.
Yeah,
so.
Look, at this point, If we go 0-4, the Falcons are 0-3, go 0-4.
They're going to tank for Trevor.
Tank for Trevor? Tank and they should. For fucking Justin
I mean,
Fields?
How much would fucking Trevor Lawrence like to play for the goddamn Falcons?
And then he's a Georgia boy.
Yeah, it's right down the street from where
he's
he grew up.
He's a Georgia boy. We can trade Matt Ryan and start all over. Get a new coach, start all over lives.
You could
maybe hire Dabo Sweeney as our head coach.
You could trade,
let's do it.
You could probably trade Matt Ryan to a middle-of-the-road team for a second and fourth round pick during the draft this upcoming year.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad deal.
I agree.
And think about the players that got taken this year in the second round, like Jefferson and Judy and people. I mean, goddamn, dude. You could fucking seriously upgrade your team.
It would be great. So we will see what happens. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinkin' Bros doubles your deposit. Sign up for Drinkin' Bros Sports on Facebook. It is free. It is a private group, though, because we talk a lot of shit in there, as you saw with our first guest today, and all of my actual bets will be in there. So you'll see them Friday, it depends on how fucked up I get, but you will see them before the game starts. That is what we're actually betting in real life. You can bet with us or against us on mybookie.com, promo code Drinkin' Bros, and then go to drinkinbrostickets.com. There is tickets available for most of these games, and they're cheap. We thought they were going to be super high this year, but apparently, you know, there's a lot of people that are afraid of COVID. Mm. And I've even had neighbors who are afraid of COVID and all that other bullshit. So fuck them. Go on out. Take your kids to the game. Enjoy it, man. It's fun. It's even funner when it's in an empty stadium and there's no lines for bathrooms, food, anything else. You can literally hear everybody's conversation. You can see people get finger blasted because it's ass-eating season, baby. And we're going hard in the NFL this weekend. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinkin' Bros Sports Companion Show. Good night, everyone. All of you motherfuckers.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.